Hello, my name is Dave Emery. The following half-hour segment is excerpted from the One Step Beyond program of August 18th, 1996.
Okay. All righty. Well, I think I've made my point about this particular article. Speaking of the subterranean world of covert operations, and that is something that I have been doing at considerable length for some time, we're going to launch right into that this evening without further ado. We're going to begin overseas in Bosnia. And by the way, there is so much news coming out that, and so many fine books coming out that trying to access the information these days is a little bit like trying to drink from a fire hose. But what the heck? For those of you who thirst, let me turn on the hydrant and away we go. New York Times, Saturday, August 17th of 1996. An article on the front page by Mike O'Connor. It's dateline Sarajevo, and it's headlined, Opposition Party in Bosnia Election Being Terrorized. Surprise, surprise, interjects Dave. Subheaded, Votes Fairness in Doubt. A further subheaded, Agents of Ruling Muslim Party Blamed for a Campaign of Beatings and Arrests. It reads in part as follows. Opposition party members are being terrorized and beaten by agents of the Muslim-dominated government in a campaign of intimidation that further erodes any pretense of fairness in the coming local and parliamentary elections, according to opposition leaders, senior NATO officers, and international monitors. Reeling under the offensive of detentions, interrogations, public assaults on party supporters, and attacks on political rallies, opposition leaders in some towns say it has become nearly impossible to organize or conduct a campaign for the September 14th elections. Quote, everyone I know who supports our party has been called into the secret police headquarters for long interrogations, some of them repeatedly, unquote, said an opposition party organizer at a conversation at his home in Bihać. Quote, sometimes the police just ask about how the party is organized, but often they are beaten too. Unquote. In a coffee shop in the town of Kazin, C-A-Z-I-N, with his back to the wall and his eyes constantly scanning the surroundings, another organizer said, quote, the worst times are when they call and threaten my family. My wife and I know that they can do anything they want with impunity, unquote. Opposition leaders in several towns in Muslim-controlled areas said their supporters were afraid to even discuss politics openly. NATO officers say the power behind the intimidation campaign, a Bosnian government intelligence organization called the Agency for Investigation and Documentation, has hundreds of agents working across Muslim-controlled areas of Bosnia, especially in the northwest, where President Alija Izetbegović's Party of Democratic Action considers its opposition the strongest. Well, again, the Yugoslavian situation is a devastating tragedy all the way around. The Serbs have been unfairly tarred and demonized. The Serbs have certainly committed plenty of war crimes, and I don't hold a brief for it. But the fact of the matter is they are the victims of aggression. They did not begin the war. The real blame for starting the war belongs with Germany, Croatia, and the United States. Croatia, Slovenia, and Bosnia seceded. Germany backed them, obliged the EC to back that, and the United States, in turn, backed Germany and the EC, and the blame lies there. This is not to say the Serbs have not committed war crimes, but there is plenty of blame all around. The Serbs are basically the victims, not the aggressors. I would also note the grotesque irony here of President Alija Izetbegović's party's name, the Party of Democratic Action. Alija Izetbegović holds power illegally, having disobeyed the Bosnian constitution, which provided for a rotating presidency. I would also note the political pedigree of President Izetbegović. President Alija Izetbegović was, as a young man, in the Hanjar division. That's spelled H-A-N-J-A-R division. That is a Bosnian Muslim Waffen-SS division that was basically put together for the Third Reich by Hajamin al-Husseini, the self-proclaimed Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. Hajamin al-Husseini was the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement and a major in the SS. Now, I don't want that to be interpreted as indicating that the Palestinian National Movement is an outgrowth of the SS. That is not the case. But the fact of the matter is that there are strong connections between elements of various Middle Eastern nationalist movements and the Third Reich, and also the current underground Reich, as I call it. I'm going to very quickly fish through some documents here and see if I can once again present. Yes, I think we've got it here. See if I can present the information to you about Alija Izetbegović and his participation in the Hanjar Division. Again, this may take... here we go. Okay. I've got it right here. I had not set this up. A little bit of what I call over-the-counter radio here, but I have not covered this in a while, and I think this might be useful for people to have in terms of documentation. Research credit on this goes to a listener who obtained this from Belgrade in what used to be Yugoslavia. This is a letter to Mr. David Binder, or Binder, B-I-N-D-E-R, of the New York Times Washington Bureau. It is a letter from a fellow named Dr. Milan Bulajic, B-U-L-A-J-I-C. He is sort of the Serbian equivalent of Simon Wiesenthal. He is the number one chronicler of war crimes against the Serbs by the Ustashi and the Germans and their Italian and Bulgarian allies during World War II. The Ustashi were the brutal Croatian fascists allied with the Third Reich, and they slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Serbs in World War II, and in many ways when Croatia once again became, quote, independent, unquote, essentially a recapitulation of the World War II fascist regime. Basically, the Serbs decided this time they were going to do unto others before others did unto them. And indeed, there have been more war crimes committed against the Serbs than anybody else, but this is not to say, again, that the Serbs have not committed more than their share against Croatians and Muslims, or to excuse that, but rather, I think this is a situation that has to be more deeply understood. Again, research credit on this to a listener. This is a letter from Dr. Milan Bulajic, B-U-L-A-J-I-C, and I'm not sure about the pronunciation of that, to Mr. David Binder, I'm not sure about the pronunciation on that, either of the New York Times Washington Bureau. It's datelined, or dated, I should say, November 7th of 1995. And I'm going to read this letter as it was written. The English is imperfect, but again, this is exactly how it was written. I'm not going to read the entire letter. It was real pleasure to hearing your voice again. This is what I have gathered for you about Ali Izbegovic and the, quote, young Muslims, unquote. The present leader of the Bosnian Muslims, Ali Izbegovic, joined the organization Young Muslims in Sarajevo on March 5, 1943. As a member of this organization, he took active part in establishment of the notorious SS Hanjar Division and collaborated with Hitler's intelligence services, Abwehr and Gestapo. By the way, he was twice convicted of crimes. He was convicted of war crimes at the end of World War II, but got a small sentence because of his youth. He was only about 18. And then later was convicted of crimes against the Yugoslavian Federation and served a longer term. I'm going to quote here from the actual text at the trial. Public prosecutor Edina Rasidovic, that's E-D-I-N-A-R-A-S-I-D-O-V-I-C, informed the court in Sarajevo as follows, quote, the defendant Izbegovic was one of the main leaders of the youth section El-Hidaja, E-L, capital H-I-D-A-J-A, belonging to the organization Young Muslims. From the year 1943, he worked on recruiting young Muslims for joining the notorious Hanjar Division, which was to bring later on, together with Hitler's hordes, great evil to the Yugoslav people. Unquote. Ali Izbegovic answered this accusation by saying, quote, you are accusing me of something connected with my youth because at that time I was only 18 years old. Unquote. In other words, Izbegovic himself does not deny it. He simply says he was very young. Continuing, public prosecutor answered, quote, accused Izbegovic, in spite of your youth that you are mentioning, I have the evidence from the Ustashi and German archives showing that you have been received for talks with the Jerusalem Mufti El Hussein, Hitler's collaborator and the founder of the notorious Hanjar Division. And he was also convicted. Ali Izbegovic, because of his fascist activism, it's actually activition here, it should have been activism, was convicted, that's translated osuden privesti, in the year 1946 to 3 years of prison and 2 years of deprivation of civil rights. These documents, verdict and facsimile of the documents, were presented at the trial in 1983 of 11 Muslims accused of writing the Islamic Declaration, which was signed by Ali Izbegovic. And by the way, in 1987, his file was burglarized in what used to be Yugoslavia. And again, Haji Amin al-Husseini, an individual that I've talked about at considerable length in archive shows such as RFA 22, an individual deeply involved with some of the Third Reich-connected Middle Eastern nationalist and Islamic movements. This is not to tar Middle Eastern and Islamic movements per se or in toto with the onus of the Third Reich, but the fact of the matter is there were very strong connections because of the common opposition to Zionism, and those connections are ongoing to this day. Speaking of fascist connections obtaining to not only the Middle East, but also to what used to be Yugoslavia, I'm going to access a remarkable bit of research that has once again been brought to us not only by a listener, but by one of our most productive and incisive and selfless listeners. That's Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, who has been doing a considerable amount of research on what I call the D'Onofrio connection, or what is being called in Italy now, Operation Check to Check, or Operation Funny Money. This is a huge arms smuggling, nuclear smuggling, money laundering, and general shenanigans operation that is once again circulating around the Mediterranean, this time going into what used to be the Soviet Union, now involving Russia. This is once again one of those situations that has more connections than a switchboard. I note for you the following. Note also that we're going to be touching on some of the connections of what I used to refer to as the Mediterranean merry-go-round, namely the Vatican Bank, things in and around the Propaganda Douay Lodge, and some things that will be familiar to veteran listeners, things that are covered in RFA programs 17 through 21. Following article comes from the Manchester Guardian's International Edition. Again, this was researched for us by Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator. This comes from the Manchester Guardian International of Monday, June 3rd of 1996. This is an article by John Hooper in Rome. It reads, Odd Deals, it reads in part as follows. It's entitled, Odd Deals in High Places. Some 500 carabinieri fanned out across Italy at the weekend to execute a flood of arrest warrants arising from perhaps the oddest of the many strange cases before the courts. Prosecutors in a seaside town near Naples claim to have stumbled across a global network for the trading of arms, gems, and radioactive material. On Saturday, they announced they had written to the Russian ultranationalist leader Vladimir Zhirinovsky and a Spanish cardinal, formally notifying them that they were among 31 people under investigation. Arrest warrants were issued for a further 36 people, including 12 foreigners. All but four of the wanted Italians were seized. Alfredo Ormani, capital O-R-M-A-N-N-I, the chief prosecutor of Torre Annunziata, said his office was looking into claims that Cardinal Ricardo Maria Carles, C-A-R-L-E-S, the Archbishop of Barcelona, had been involved in money laundering and illicit currency trading through the Vatican Bank. Mr. Zhirinovsky was accused of arms trading. Both Mr. Zhirinovsky and the Archbishop have denied the accusations, which arose out of an investigation into various minor wheeler dealers in the Naples area. At least two of the criminals turned state's evidence following their arrest. One has since claimed that he worked part-time for the Italian Military Intelligence Service, SISMI, capital S-I-S-M-I. He said he was asked to keep tabs on an alleged arms trader in Slovenia. On two occasions, he was present when the arms trader met Mr. Zhirinovsky. He said the trader discussed buying a missile battery, which Mr. Zhirinovsky was to get from Belarus, that's what used to be Belorussia, and when it was the Soviet Union. It's now an independent country, continuing, and that the two men talked about the trading of material used in the manufacture of nuclear weapons. And skipping down, last November, the prosecutors asked Spain for permission to question Cardinal Carles about claims that he had guaranteed the recycling of £65 million through the Institute for Religious Works, the Vatican Bank. We've dealt with the Vatican Bank at great length and the many, many P2 and fascist and intelligence-connected scandals involving the Vatican Bank in the very important archive series RFA's 17 through 21. In particular, the Vatican banking scandals is discussed at considerable length, or are discussed at considerable length, in RFA 18. The Vatican banking scandals and the Propaganda Douay Lodge, basically a bogus Masonic lodge headed up by Licio Gelli, a Mussolini fascist and former SS officer, who essentially has been the puppet master, as his nickname calls him, of Italy for quite some time in the post-war period. That Masonic lodge, ostensibly a Masonic lodge, has actually served as a front for basically a crypto-fascist government that has maintained Italy over the years. It contains high-ranking intelligence and military figures, powerful business figures, journalists, business people, the advisors, two advisors to the Vatican Bank, organized crime figures, And again, the P2 Lodge of Licio Gelli has not only pretty much run Italy in the post-war period, or for much of it, it has also exerted profound influence around the rest of the world as well. So once again, we are seeing the Vatican Bank coming up in connection with the murky world of intelligence and international fascism. Now, in many ways, this particular scandal began to be unearthed when a former CIA agent named Roger D'Onofrio, D'ONOFRIO, was arrested. And the operation that began to be revealed with the arrest of former CIA agent Roger D'Onofrio has been called Operation Check to Check and Operation Funny Money. We're going to examine this operation at greater length right now. Once again, research and translation credit for this article goes to Dave White. And this article is from La Repubblica of Sunday, June 2nd of 1996, from page 1. The article reads, "The capture of ex-CIA agent Roger D'Onofrio led to a tumultuous string of arrests dubbed Operation Check to Check. Ricardo Marocco, a businessman from Milan, and Francesco Elmo, who worked part-time for the CISMI, became collaborators following their arrest. Elmo described the international network in detail. The Middle East thread. Yasser Arafat sold 3 tons of gold to finance PLO activities. The Russian thread. Ultranationalist leader Vladimir Zhirinovsky met in Vienna in 1993 with a Croatian minister interested in acquiring anti-tank missiles. In Bled, Slovenia, in 1994, Zhirinovsky met with Slovenian trafficker Nicholas Oman, capital O-M-A-N, to discuss a missile battery deal. Also participating in that meeting were the Honorary Council of Liberia and Lorenzo Mazzega, M-A-Z-Z-E-G-A. Mazzega escaped capture yesterday by a hair. Mazzega is in contact with the Brenta Mafia and with its boss, now turned informant, Felice Maniero, M-A-N-I-E-R-O. Maniero confirmed the Zhirinovsky-Oman meeting. Other Italian sources told the Russian newspaper Komsomolskaya Pravda that Zhirinovsky visited Slovenia 14 times in 1995. The paper also printed 4 photos provided by the German publisher Axel Springer showing Zhirinovsky and Oman together. Elmo says the two men also discussed the sale of the components used in the manufacture of nuclear weapons, red mercury, osmium, O-S-M-I-U-M, and plutonium, discovered in Belarus. The Spanish thread. Cardinal Ricardo Maria Marles, here it's described as Marles, M-A-R-L-E-S, it's described as Carles, C-A-R-L-E-S, in the New York Times article, or in the London Times article. I do not know which is the correct pronunciation. In any event, he is the Cardinal of Barcelona. And this, I guess, would fall under the category of cardinal sins. Cardinal Ricardo Maria Marles, together with Ignacio Sala, S-A-L-A, an economics professor at the University of Barcelona, laundered more than $100 million through the IOR. Again, that's the Vatican Bank, the infamous Institute for Religious Works. Each currency transaction netted 15%. The money wound up in the pockets of Hans Kung, K-E-U-N-G, or I'm not sure how that's pronounced, head of a Swiss construction company, and Licio Gelli, who was involved in the recycling with his son, Maurizio, M-A-U-R-I-Z-I-O. Gelli was also in contact with Slovenian trafficker Nicholas Oman and made several trips from Rome to Moscow. The Somalian thread. Said Omar Mugni, M-U-G-N-E, owned Shifco, S-H-I-F-C-O, a Somali company with offices in Bologna. Shifco was a leader in shipping foodstuffs to developing nations. Munya was believed to be, quote, close to Bettino Craxi, unquote. That, by the way, that's a former prime minister of Italy. He is also suspected in the 1980s traffic of arms between the USA, Iran, and Nicaragua. Next Tuesday, the Somali entrepreneur will be questioned by a Rome judge looking into the murder of 2 journalists. The magistrates of Torre Annunziati have sent some of their records to their colleagues in Aosta, A-O-S-T-A, who are conducting the phony money inquiry. By the way, that's P-H-O-N-E-Y, capital M-O-N-E-Y, inquiry. So let's take a moment to review what we've looked at in this particular article. It discusses a number of different threads in this incredibly complicated scheme involving money laundering, arms trafficking, the trafficking of possible trafficking of missile batteries to Croatia, courtesy of Vladimir Zhirinovsky, the Russian fascist who received funding from, among other people, during some of his electoral tries, by Gerhard Fry, the German fascist and fascist and head of the DVU, whose newspaper broke the news that Lee Harvey Oswald had fired at Edwin Walker many days before that information was supposedly first disclosed to the world for the very first time by Marina Oswald. I've discussed that in RFA 37, among other programs. That was read, by the way, last week, some of that information. There is a Middle Eastern thread described here in which Yasser Arafat supposedly sells 3 tons of gold to finance, or sold 3 tons of gold to finance PLO activities. I would note that there's no further discussion of this or how it relates to this particular scandal. Then there is the Russian thread in which ultranationalist leader Vladimir Zhirinovsky meets in Vienna with a Croatian minister interested in acquiring anti-tank missiles. He meets with a Slovenian trafficker, Nicholas Oman, to secure that deal. Also meets with people such as the Honorary Council of Liberia and Lorenzo Mazzega. There is also a discussion of Zhirinovsky visiting Slovenia 14 times in 1995, and apparently the Zhirinovsky-Oman connection was a fairly substantive one. And there are indications here that among the things they were talking about was the securing of nuclear materials for, who knows where, the former Yugoslavia, Croatia perhaps, from what used to be Belarusia, now the independent country of Belarus. Then there is the Spanish thread in which the Cardinal of Barcelona is laundering $100 million through the Vatican Bank, and the currency transaction, each currency transaction, that's a profit of 15%. And the money winds up in the hands of Hans Küng, head of a Swiss construction company, and Licio Gelli, former Mussolini fascist and SS officer, and his son, Maurizio. It should be noted that Gelli also was in contact with this very same Slovenian arms trafficker, Nicholas Oman. Gelli also, according to this account, made some trips to Moscow himself. That man does get around. Then there is the Somalian thread in which a Somalian arms dealer named Omar Mugni, or I'm not sure how that's pronounced, M-U-G-N-E, was involved in this particular operation. We're also going to discuss the allegation that he was connected to the murder of two Italian journalists. Please note that this particular arms trafficker is suspected of being involved in the Iran-Contra arms traffic, the arms triangle running between the United States, Iran, and Nicaragua. We alluded earlier to the Nicaraguan Contra cocaine connection and its devastating effects on our inner cities as a result of the crack cocaine epidemic. The San Jose Mercury News from today has the first of a massive three-part series that listeners should check out in that regard. Again, today is August 18th of 1996, for those of you who are listening on tape. And we're going to talk more about the Somalian connection right now. Research and translation credit, once again, for the following article goes to Dave White. This article comes from Panorama of April 25th of 1996, and it reads in part, in March of 1994, Ilaria Alpi, A-L-P-I, a reporter for Telegiornale Tre, and Miran Rovatin, H-R-O-V-A-T-I-N, her cameraman, were kidnapped and murdered in Mogadishu. They were investigating the Kraksi government's involvement in supplying arms to dictator Siad Barre. He was the former dictator of Somalia. Brescian arms manufacturers were Somalia's main suppliers during the 80s. Two Rome magistrates are investigating Abdullahi Musa Youssef, 60, the sultan of the Darod clan, who was interviewed by the two journalists a few days before their disappearance. Quote, they were seeking information on the Farax Umar, O-O-M-A-A-R, a fishing boat from the Shifco fleet, which was seized by our Navy for fishing without authorization in Somali territorial waters, unquote. I would note that among the many, many, many connections of the Stibom Arms for Drugs ring, an institution with more connections than a switchboard, including Italian, U.S., and German intelligence, the DEA, the P2 Lodge, the Iran-Contra scandal, and the Iraqgate scandals, were a scandal involving arms to Somalia. The judge, Judge Palermo, as we looked at in RFA 20 and reprised in RFA 25, the judge looked into the connections between U.S. intelligence and people like Glauco Partel, an ex-NSA operative, Massimo Pugliese of the P2 and SISMI Italian intelligence, and the late actor Rossano Brazzi, and Ronald Reagan as well, with the arms smuggling to Somalia. Citizen Dick, Richard Nixon, the late and not-so-great Richard Nixon's name also came up in connection with that particular traffic. Again, I refer interested listeners to RFA 20. The last article that we're going to deal with in connection with Operation Check to Check, or the Phony Money Inquiry, research and translation credit once again goes to Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator. This is also from La Repubblica, this from Thursday, June 6th of 1996. Yesterday, Licio Gelli testified before Judge David Monti, M-O-N-T-I, who was conducting the Phony Money Inquiry. Before entering the courtroom, Gelli admitted knowing the Italian-American Enzo Di Chiara, C-H-I-A-R-A. Di Chiara, a Republican consultant for international affairs and a friend of Bill Clinton's, is closely connected to Gianmario Ferramonti, the head of the international organization involved in the illicit traffic. So this presents a connection between Licio Gelli and an Italian-American involved in this named Enzo Di Chiara, who apparently, among other things, in addition to being a buddy of Licio Gelli's, is a buddy of Bill Clinton's as well. So again, Operation Check to Check or Operation Funny Money. Speaking, we have been talking now about an arms for drugs traffic, an arms traffic, possibly drugs traffic. I talk about those two things so often that I sometimes unconsciously run them together. There may be drugs involved there, but there are no indications. Merely arms, nuclear materials, $100 million being laundered through the Vatican Bank by the Cardinal of Barcelona. Yeah, you know, what the heck. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Again, a classic example of what one might call cardinal sin under the circumstances. One of the scary things to contemplate in connection with networks of this type, and we have spoken about many operations of this type in connection with the P2, is that sooner or later, one way or the other, folks, some of that nuclear material is going to wind up in the hands of terrorists. And that is not only going to result in all probability in a nuclear terrorist incident, either actualized or aborted, but in response to that incident, should it take place in the United States, you can kiss the Bill of Rights goodbye. And there are many interests inside and outside of government that would go a long way in order to see something like that happening. Again, that segment was from the One Step Beyond show of August 18th, 1996. The half-hour segments that I've been producing over the years are available from an outfit called, actually for about the last year or so, they are available from an outfit called Spitfire. The address is P.O. Box 1179, P.O. Box 1179, that is in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address is alcalame at ix.netcom.com. Once again, the mailing address for Spitfire, box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. The email address, alcalame at ix.netcom.com. Neither myself nor the station gets money from this arrangement. There is a new address for the archive shows, the long radio documentaries that I've produced for many, many years now. The new address for the archive shows is Other Means. The same address is for a publication I'm doing. Other Means is at Box 191710, Box 191710, San Francisco, California, 94119-1710. 94119-1710. And I do receive a small royalty from Other Means. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.